Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're here to help you win the ultimate bragging rights, a fantasy title.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Thursday's edition of Fantasy Football Today. Adam Azer with Dave Richard, with Heath Cummings, and eventually Jamie Eisenberg will be in. We're going to talk about half-point PPR a little bit today, read some of your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, and generally just have a really fun time.
Yay!
How's
it's always
that sound?
Fun when you're here.
Thank you. Yes, in case you didn't listen to the baseball podcast, you should.
There's people that don't listen to the baseball
right?
podcast?
I don't listen to the baseball podcast.
I don't understand.
Dave!
I don't.
Dave, that's pretty bad. I'm in the office. I'm in Fort Lauderdale hanging out in person with these guys, and just having a great time, like we said. I have a trivia question for you.
Does that have to do with Frank Gore?
It does. I know you already know the trivia question, but you didn't really get the answer right off the air. Who had more 20-yard carries last season? Carries that went for 20 or more yards.
Oh, not exactly 20. Like 20 plus.
20 or more. Okay. Yes, sorry.
I thought it was exactly 20, and I figured that Frank Gore didn't have any, because that would be really weird if he had exactly 20-yard carry.
That's a dumb trivia question if it's exactly 20
no, that's
yards.
Not the
I assume
question.
Alex
20
Smith
plus.
Is my answer.
I didn't even read the question. Alex Smith or Frank Gore, who had more carries of 20 or more yards?
And so I'm trying to get into your brain with asking this question, and I think you're trying to trick us. I think they both had the same amount of 20-plus yard carries.
Which would be zero?
I don't know if it's zero.
You are
it
right.
It might be one.
It is a tie,
uh-huh.
And it's one. You said three off the air, so congratulations.
But,
you just got better.
I thought about it a little bit more and realized. I wrote the player outlooks for the Colts for our magazine and for the site. So, I do a lot of digging on Frank Gore and the things he can do. And, yeah, one carry of 20-plus yards.
It was 22 yards. That was his long. That's bad. I think he had five the year before, which also isn't very good. And, yeah, you know, we had an email that got me to look that up. The email was from Ty, from Dave?
Ty is from Montgomery, Alabama.
He says, hey, Peyton, Jay, and Tony. I guess those are retired quarterbacks. The question was, Frank Gore has had at least 200 carries every year since 2005, at least 250 carries since 2011. Breakdowns are hard to predict, but is this the year you don't want to risk the roster spot on 34-year-old Frank Gore?
Been saying that he's a risk each of the past few years, and he makes us look like doofuses every time. But he's still the type of guy that, I'll say it before, I'll say it again, you don't plan on drafting Frank Gore. You get to round six or round seven of your draft, and you go, oh, crap, I need a running back. Well, at least there's Frank Gore.
Yeah.
And you reluctantly put Frank Gore on your team. But the silver lining is, if you want to, you can spend a pick a couple rounds later, three rounds later, I'd say, on Marlon Return of the Mac.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Who is going to be the bolt of lightning to Frank Gore's slow-moving thunder.
Yeah, I don't want to risk a, good draft pick on Frank Gore, but I don't mind risking a roster spot at all. He's going to be
available.
What's
a good draft pick?
Well, I probably wouldn't take him in the first seven rounds.
12-team league.
Probably not in the first eight rounds, but a ninth or tenth round pick on Frank Gore.
Yeah, but he's never going to make it.
That's fine. Though. Oh, I think he will.
It's just interesting.
I disagree. I think someone will take him before then.
Frank Gore was the number 10 running back in fantasy 2 years ago, number 12 last year. So I didn't like him at all going into last year. In fact, I was criticizing you guys for liking him. I was dead wrong. He's so tied into Andrew Luck, you know. And Luck just gets him down the field, and he finishes it off. He had four receiving touchdowns last year. But, yeah, 34 years old. I mean, my goodness.
But he still stays in good shape.
Like, yeah.
He's just one of those guys. He's got great genes, keeps in good shape. And I think the Colts know that they can't lean on him for 250, 275 carries.
I have great genes
over
today.
Over the course of what brand?
I don't remember.
Over the course of a season, I think they're going to look at Gore and they're going to say, all right, when we're in crucial situation, now you're standing up to show me your jeans.
I'm just amazed.
I don't want to see your butt.
He is so proud that he's wearing pants on the podcast.
Buffalo,
I think he never does.
I think they're Buffalo.
Buffalo jeans?
Yeah,
Buffalo jeans.
I'd never heard of them before, but I bought them. They're really.
It's a type of chicken wing.
They're really cheap?
No.
No.
Normal, but.
What's
nothing.
Normal for a pair of jeans?
Oh, God.
You're here.
Jamie's attacking me.
You almost kissed him.
That was weird and uncomfortable. So let's
hold on a second,
Frank
Jamie. A minute ago, Adam just showed us his butt.
Let's move on.
And have you ever heard of Buffalo jeans?
Yeah.
All right, then
I've heard of them. Terrific.
I must be a loser.
So Jamie says they're great jeans. All right, everybody, get some Buffalo jeans. Now, Today, are we doing a half-point PPR draft today? Is that what's happening?
Yes. Yep.
All right, excellent. Is there any doubt that that's the best format?
Well, I think there's a lot of doubt. There are people that prefer PPR, and there's people that don't like PPR at all, and so there's plenty of debate and doubt over what is the best format.
But this one seems to be the most reasonable when you're in a debate with somebody else about full-point PPR. Because full-point PPR, yeah, that's really going to, you know, make pass catchers far more valuable. Standard leagues, not as valuable. It favors the
it's
running
just
backs
too
and everyone
much.
Else.
It's like
so this is the happy medium, right?
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is the happy medium. Perfect.
I like graduated PPR. Where you get half for a running back, one for a receiver,
Stop.
And 1.5 for a tight
Stop.
End.
We're
that's,
not doing this.
I think that's the best format, personally.
Do you really think that's
yes.
the best format?
Yes.
Like, if you were going to tell a first-time fantasy football player to do a league, what would you recommend?
I would do that, and then I would say no kickers, and then I would say no defense and take IBT.
You would really make them do a tiered PPR?
Yeah.
What's up, Jamie?
Much better.
Hey, buddy.
I'm excited for half-point PPR. Tell me how your strategy changes in half-point PPR.
I think it just comes down to the player when you get to a certain spot in the draft, and do you think this guy's going to – his pass-catching ability is going to make that much of a difference. So when you're talking about, you know, the typically the PPR type of guys, the Larry Fitzgeralds, the Danny Woodheads, those type of players, Christian McCaffrey, you know, guys that I think will – their value will be pushed up a little bit more by those extra half points that they'll get with the receptions. But – for the most part, I think it's almost you look at it more sort of a standard scoring than a PPR scoring, because the touchdowns I think are still going to be the difference maker in that format comparatively to like if it was a full PPR.
So are you guys going with your running backs with the first three picks or wide receivers in half point PPR?
I pick fourth. I'm anticipating still taking Antonio Brown there.
Where do I pick?
I'll tell you in a second.
I didn't even see the draft order yet. Yeah, I would take the top three running backs first.
Dave, half-point PPR?
Yeah, still the same.
So it goes, I pick fourth of the four of us. I pick fourth. Dave is at six.
Nice.
Adam is at 10, and Heath is at 11.
So I'm locked
Good.
Into the top three running back or a top three receiver.
I think at 10 I'll probably go, I would not eliminate receiver. That would definitely be viable.
You'll probably take Jordy Nelson at 10.
I'll probably take him at 14.
And then I'll probably take T.Y. Hilton.
Or 15.
You won't get him
as your second round pick.
Yes.
You don't think so?
Nope.
No, I think just knowing who picked at 12, which is Marone Berkson, one of our producers, he will probably take receiver.
Yeah, but could I get Dez, or do you think all the...
Well, you got to assume... You said you're taking receiver?
I don't know what I'm taking.
Oh, at six? Well,
it's either a top three running back or a top three receiver. It'll probably be a receiver.
It'll be a receiver.
But you're not going to pass on... Beckham or I think
for Melvin Gordon, no.
Okay, so yeah, I would assume you're talking about three receivers gone by that point, unless Nick Costas again takes Leonard Fournette at 9, which I wouldn't rule it out.
No, but, he'll YOLO that.
You're probably going to have your choice of AJ Green.
Oh, please, love
that,
it.
That would
love
be
it.
The way I would assume it would go, and then you're taking receiver most likely.
Yeah, I'll probably take T.Y. Hilton.
T.Y. Hilton at 11. Marone will probably go back to back with Dez and Jordy.
So then who's the next best wide receiver? Michael Thomas?
Michael Thomas could be there
for you. Or T.Y. Hilton?
Well, no, he just said he's taking
T.Y. Oh, you're taking T.Y., I'm sorry. No. All right, well, that brings us to email of the day number one. It is about Michael Thomas. It is from Fitz, in a southeast suburb of Detroit.
West Sumter.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, Dante, Joe, and Jerome.
Dante, Joe, and Jerome.
2003 Saints receivers.
You cheater.
Like, you give us the nose.
Well,
with these
let them figure it out before, and then we could reveal.
Dante, Joe, and Jerome.
Yeah, who
Can
are they?
Can you name the Jerome?
No.
Dante
no.
Stallworth, Joe Horn.
No. The Jerome is impossible.
I'm pretty sure
the only Jerome,
the Jerome up.
It's a receiver?
The only Jerome
I know is Jerome Simpson.
Yeah, it was not Jerome
wasn't
Simpson.
Him.
Yeah.
I don't even want to say the guy's name in case I say it wrong.
Yeah.
You don't remember?
I don't know.
I'm going to make you say it.
He was on the practice squad. He had like 100 yards in a preseason game or something.
There's indoor.
Payson?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Why is no one talking about the downside of Michael Thomas?
Indoor Jerome Moore?
Indoor Jerome Payson. All we hear is targets left town with Brandon Cooks, and Thomas should get sizable bump because of them. What about Adrian Peterson signing? What about drafting Alvin Kamara? What about the track record of guys who were number two wide receivers moving up to the number one spot? Or the fact that Willie Snead beat Thomas out at the beginning of last year only to get hurt It seems like no one is associating any risk with him. And while I do like him, I think the industry has Michael Thomas ranked a bit too high, and no one is accounting for downside. And before you guys answer, I just want to talk about what's on today's show. We're going to go back to some rankings disputes. We're going to talk about Heath liking Mike Wallace quite a bit, 30th.
I wouldn't say liking him quite a bit. We'll get to that later. But yes, 30th.
Okay.
30th.
Wide receiver.
He's your 30th ranked receiver.
No. Here, you want to do this right now?
No,
I knew
not.
I'd get this response, and it's ridiculous.
All right. I've got a great stat to support your case. We'll get to that later.
Okay.
Some more ranking stuff and a lot of news coming out of OTAs. But Michael Thomas, all these points are valid points about his downside. What do you guys think?
Yes, they're valid. But yeah, I mean, unless Drew Brees is all of a sudden becoming a game manager, you can argue that he was the number one guy a year ago. Even the fact that he started third.
He had more targets than Cooks. They were almost identical. He had 5 more targets.
Yeah, it's hard to say that he's walking into a situation where he's set up to fail. I mean, he's set up to succeed. So could he fail? Sure. Could teams figure him out by watching, you know, a year's worth of film on him and certainly understanding his tendencies? Can he have a sophomore slump like Mike Evans did, you know, after a very good, if not great, rookie season? That's certainly capable of happening. Could they become more run-centric? You know, not necessarily run-dominant, but, you know, leaning on Ingram and Peterson and Kamara and, you know, going away from what they typically do. I just can't see that happening as long as Drew Brees and Sean Payton are there.
So, I can't either.
I can understand Michael Thomas being maybe overvalued a little bit as an early second-round pick in a standard league. Sure, that's fair. But when you start to get... When you get past those 8 guys, and we've talked about them a lot, it's Adam's favorite topic. When you get past those 8 guys...
Yeah, we're supposed to boycott this for 3 shows.
But when you get past those 8 guys, and you start to talk about Doug Baldwin and Amari Cooper and Devontae Adams and Sammy Watkins and Alshon Jeffrey, it's hard to say that he's not better than those guys. You can argue that he's not, but based on situation and quarterback, he's right there.
I love Michael Thomas. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
And you have for a while.
In defense of this email...
Fitz. He has a name.
Fitz. In defense of Fitz, DeFitz, putting him at the top of that next tier after those top 8 does kind of only give him downside. Like, I think he's going to fall somewhere in that next tier. I like him a lot as a low-end number one.
Unless he's better than the 8 guys in front of him.
What's that?
Unless he's better than the 8 guys in front of him.
I think the odds of him being worse than the 5 or 6 guys behind him, the Hopkins, the Baldwin... Cooper, those guys are higher than him jumping into that next tier. So I do think at his current average draft position, like I've done a lot of these MFL 10s so far, I can't get any Michael Thomas because I'm not willing to take him ahead of some of those guys.
The problem is that you could say that about every single receiver that you could put at 9th overall. Any single one, whether it's Hopkins or Demarius.
Look, you can
the upside, that there is not much of a ceiling there for whoever you put
but there. But there's also a chance that just given what we've seen, Jordy at 32. Heath, you made the argument for, you know, receivers at that age. Dez Bryant's injury track record. T.Y. Hilton, similar to Julio Jones, he's just not as good, doesn't score touchdowns. And so now you're talking about he can maybe ascend higher than those guys.
Well, let's be honest. There's no way that the top 8 receivers are going to finish 1 through 8. Like, things are,
of course
that's
not.
True.
But Michael Thomas, like, I think we need to appreciate just how good his rookie year was. He caught 92 passes. Mike Evans... had 169 fantasy points as a rookie. Michael Thomas had 161, but only 68 catches. I actually may have switched that. They were close.
Evans had 68 catches.
Yeah, Evans had 68
Thomas
catches.
Thomas had 92.
No, but who had 161 fantasy points? Who had 169? I may have switched that around. I think Thomas may have been better than Evans as a rookie. A.J. Green, rookie season, only 15 games with 65 catches, 1,057 yards and 7 touchdowns. I mean, 92 catches as a rookie. That's amazing. It's almost like, and, you know, a lot of times in fantasy, we try to pick people apart and find the downside. Maybe Michael Thomas is a star. Maybe
he could
be.
And I think that the Saints have to hope that he is because they just traded away Brandon Cooks to get help on what really amounted to their offensive line, not even their defense, as the draft pick turns out. I'll give you my favorite thing about Thomas, and I'll give you one little thing to nitpick,
before you go on, Dave, Evans was 169 as a rookie.
Okay, and Thomas was 161. But Thomas was better in PPR. That's what it was. Much better.
Heath's guy, Thomas, caught 76% of his targets. Now, we've been doing fantasy a long time. We know that if your receiver catches 60%, that's good. 70% is great. 76% when you're getting 120 targets, that's really incredible. I will say this. One of his best games last year was against the Rams. 10 targets, 9 catches, 108 yards, 2 touchdowns. Do you remember how the Rams defense played that game?
They took Brandon Cooks away.
They double-teamed Brandon Cooks, and you saw Michael Thomas disintegrate the other side of that field.
But I think part of this
I don't know how many times he's going to be in a situation like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but
next
he might be better now.
Right.
But if defenses are focused on him now,
yeah, look,
it's going to be harder.
It's difficult for any player outside of the best of the best to – if teams are taking you away.
It's the Allen Robinson argument. Right? Because that's what Pete Prisco was saying about Robinson, that he had trouble beating the double team last year.
Yes.
That's the downside.
But there's also a huge difference. Drew Brees versus Blake Bortles.
Absolutely. And I'm sold on Thomas. I think it's reflecting on his rookie year.
Dave is helping my Willie Snead argument, you know, and this is just going to make him that much better because, of course, you're taking away Michael Thomas when you're trying to take away somebody in that passing game. You're not worried about Kobe Fleener after what he showed a year ago. You're not necessarily worried about Willie Snead, who played on 9 toes and didn't necessarily have the greatest of seasons, but has the chance to this year. And look, Ted Ginn is 3 or 4 plays a game, and if you eliminate those 3 or 4 plays a game, which you can, he's probably going to drop one too. You know, you really have to take away the best player in that passing game, and that's Michael Thomas. So I think Fitz's argument is 100% valid, but you have to buy in at this point.
Willie Snead's catch rate last year, 69.2%.
Ooh, pretty good. That's nice that Brad.
He's
going to
have a great season. I'm so excited about Willie Snead.
Email of the day number 2 is from Parker from a small town in North Carolina. Durham. Small?
I was going to say Chapel Hill.
Okay.
That's smaller than Durham.
Is it?
Rodanthe.
Oh, yeah, Chapel Hill. Rodanthe it is. Christian McCaffrey, we can all agree, has the potential to be a stud for Carolina. But after paying Jonathan Stewart, re-signing him, I'm hesitant on drafting McCaffrey as early as the mocks have him valued right now. Heck, he isn't even the number one back right now in Carolina. Jonathan Stewart can still catch, can still run.
I mean, technically he can do those
when
things.
When healthy.
Technically I can do those things.
He can fall forward.
Is Christian McCaffrey that much more valuable than Jonathan Stewart? He thinks there's too much. Parker from Rodanthe. Thinks there's too much of a discrepancy between McCaffrey going in round 3 or 4, Jonathan Stewart going much later. Thoughts?
You can't look at money in the NFL anymore and say that's a reason that a team likes or dislikes a player.
So,
but you can look at draft picks.
Yes,
and you can read the tea leaves with what Carolina did, not just with McCaffrey in round 1, but Samuel in round 2. They want to create targets for Cam to throw to right off the snap.
But they also want to get more explosiveness in their backfield. I mean, look.
It does both of those things.
Jonathan Stewart, I think, still has the best chance. If you were to say, who's going to lead the Panthers in rushing touchdowns? Cam included.
Right.
I would say Stewart. But does that mean he's going to be the best guy there?
I don't think so
at all.
Stewart is much, much, much more likely to outperform his ADP this year than McCaffrey is.
But that doesn't necessarily mean anything, though.
Like if you're going to draft one of those two, I'd rather draft Stewart at his position.
Except at PPR, I have almost no interest in Stewart.
He's going to go in the 12th or 13th round.
Yeah. He's a warm body at running
back. I'd rather have a guy that I feel like could catch 4 passes a game.
Than a guy who might score.
Yeah, who might score.
6 times a year.
And catch 7 times a year.
Having just said what I said, but would it be a surprise if they both score 6 touchdowns over the course of the season?
Like
no.
Catching, receiving plus rushing touchdowns?
12 touchdowns.
Yeah. No, not at all.
But who's going to have more yards?
They also both could have good years. They could be on the field at the same time, depending on how they use McCaffrey.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure that's going to happen.
I think McCaffrey's going to have a better year.
Yeah.
I think he'll have more
yards. No, you're saying. I mean, look, it's certainly a fair point that in the 12th round, if you're getting 6 touchdowns from both guys, and if Stewart gets you 800 yards and McCaffrey gets you 1,200,
right.
those 7 or 8 rounds are going to make a difference if you built your team the right way.
Guys, I got to tell you, it's great to be in Florida. It's great to be here. Good to see the family and friends. There is one thing I miss about New York, though.
The weather.
No.
The traffic.
No.
Blue Apron.
Blue Apron. I had to cancel Blue Apron for this week and next week. Cancel the deliveries because I'll be out of town. Actually, that's important to know because it's just an easy sort of thing to manage. You can reschedule Blue Apron. You can change your menu. You can customize it so you get what you like.
Can you forward it to another address?
Yeah,
what if they can they deliver to you?
I'm going out of town this weekend, so it just wouldn't work.
But just in theory.
Yeah, you can change the address.
So like if you're going vacationing in
you hate your parents that much that you wouldn't give them food.
In fact, I did give them free Blue Apron. When you sign up for Blue Apron, you can give out free Blue Apron to family and to anyone. So it's really awesome. 3 delicious meals a week. BlueApron.com/fantasyfootball is the URL you need for a special offer of 3 free meals. BlueApron.com/fantasyfootball. Support the show as well. It's affordable, less than $10 per person per meal. Flexible, easy to make, convenient. The ingredients come right to your door. It's delicious. Beef teriyaki stir fry with sugar snap peas and lime rice. Baked spinach and egg flatbread with sauteed asparagus and lemon aioli. Three cheese and baby broccoli stromboli. Oh, yes, the stromboli is amazing. With tomato and oregano dipping sauce. These are just some of the great things. BlueApron.com/fantasyfootball to get three free meals with free shipping. BlueApron.com/fantasyfootball. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Really tough to do that read when I got my sandwich sitting right there. Like, I really want to tear into that sandwich. I guess I'll have to wait. Injuries, news, and notes.
What kind of sandwich?
It is a chicken Philly with mushrooms. I made sure they added mushrooms.
I might have stolen it from you until you said mushrooms.
Is it really a Philly?
Why
it's
not?
It's got chicken and mushrooms on it.
And onions.
That's just a chicken sandwich with onions on it.
With whiz or without?
No. There's cheese.
Like, I don't think this is a Philly.
That's what they said on the menu. What do you want me to say?
You know what's interesting is that I offered to pick up lunch for you.
The timing was wrong.
You would have eaten already, but I offered to pick up lunch for you. That would have cost you half of what you spent on this.
I know. I had to meet the delivery minimum. Jay Gruden's been impressed with wide receiver Josh Doctson, who had the Achilles injury last year. Is Josh Doctson a better pick than Kevin White right now?
Oh, yes.
With Kevin White's current mystery status?
Yeah,
yes.
Easy question.
Absolutely.
Easy
yes. Question. I think the interesting thing is really going to be how the three guys in Washington all perform.
Let me ask you this. Is Josh Doctson a better pick than Mike Wallace right now?
It's ridiculous.
No.
Okay.
No, but I think that the thing is, and it's similar to what he said about Jonathan Stewart and Christian McCaffrey, could Josh Doctson end up being a better pick than Terrell Pryor?
Well, sure, because Pryor you're taking with a top 50 pick, and Doctson is going to be in the land of DST.
I can see
now,
him
the
being
double digit rounds.
I can see him being a big riser. By the time
sure.
Oh, he already is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he already is.
He'll be top first 10 rounds.
They're talking about one of the biggest topics to come out of this Jay Gruden press conference in which he mentions Doctson is just timing and rhythm that Kirk Cousins is trying to get into with all of his receivers. And the fact that Doctson's there and is practicing, it's a big positive.
Well, they're all there.
Right, but he was hurt last year. He barely practiced last year. So here's a guy on the mend, has a chance to make an impact, clearly was a great receiver coming out of TCU. He can fly. It sounds like he still has some good speed. It's going to be it's going to be fun to keep an eye on him. And he could absolutely move from the double-digit rounds into a round 8 to 9 pick. And he could push down Terrell Pryor's.
Oh, he could end up being the number one receiver there. I would not be surprised at all if Doctson's one, Crowder's two, Pryor's three. If Crowder's one, Pryor's two, Doctson's three. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts with all three of those guys.
Okay. Marcus Mariota is participating in OTAs.
By the way, they're saying that Pryor and Keith Marshall are the two fastest players on that team.
Really?
Yeah. I was stunned when I heard that Pryor was there.
Pryor's one hell of an athlete.
He really, and he's been training hard. He's been putting clips up every day on social media.
Where are your training clips?
What, of me sitting at a table eating like bags of Fritos?
Yeah. Marcus Mariota participating in OTAs. That's great.
That's good.
The Indianapolis Star reporting there's no assurances that Andrew Luck will be ready for the start of training camp as Luck recovers from shoulder surgery.
We talked about when this would actually start to make an impact in our fantasy drafts, right? Like, if I'd say 2 weeks into training camp, if he hasn't thrown a football, I'd start to get a little feeling in my belly that makes me queasy.
Okay.
You want to add
I got
sandwich.
A big belly.
Put
know.
That on
Well, no,
that
it's
on
not 2 weeks
media.
Into training camp. I'll put that on social media.
Rob Gronkowski was cleared to practice as he recovers from back surgery and being in a WWE music video. You saw that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I didn't.
Amazing.
Everybody saw it but me. A WWE music video?
Right.
I don't know that it was officially a WWE video.
He was in a music video. Where he
wasn't a WWE girl in it? Or no?
Oh, I
right,
don't...
Right, but they don't...
Like it wasn't for the product?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Am I saying something that I shouldn't be saying?
No, nothing at all.
Oh, okay.
Except for maybe just trying to go into details on this because none of us know.
Okay, yeah, I don't
even... I haven't seen anything.
I've seen it.
He has sushi eaten off of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very, very, very inappropriate stuff, Dave. Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian are alternating first-team reps. Okay. Buffalo is concerned about Charles Clay's knee. Not that he's so fantasy relevant, but he's got a knee injury. Ron Rivera defended Kelvin Benjamin's conditioning.
He said he's not that fat.
And that picture is circulating of him.
I found pictures on the Panthers website from a couple weeks ago, like 2 weeks ago, and he looked fine.
It was from 2 weeks ago?
It was.
From his rookie season.
It was. And then the picture that's coming out now, it looks like he's wearing like a child's jersey.
Yeah.
Or he's definitely.
It also doesn't help that he's walking in front of either the offensive or defensive lineman. So, like, he looks like he fits in. He's just wearing a different jersey. But yeah, it's not a flattering photo.
He's got time. He can still lose weight.
Or he could blot his hamstring.
If Jinder Mahal did it, so can Kelvin Benjamin.
Oh, speaking of Jinder Mahal, we had a interview with Jinder Mahal on the In This Corner podcast.
No kidding.
Yeah, yesterday.
Now that's a podcast I'll listen to.
The In This Corner podcast is awesome. It is a wrestling / MMA / boxing podcast. Different episodes, not in one episode, but different shows per week have a specific topic. So if you don't want to listen to any boxing, just skip that episode. That's fine. Hosted by Brian Campbell with Nick Kostos and Adam Silverstein. Check it out, In This Corner podcast. Also, if you like golf, check out The First Cut with Kyle Porter. We got Odell Beckham not being at OTAs. They are voluntary, but he is missing them.
Yeah, don't draft him. Terrible. Meanwhile, Brandon Marshall made like a great catch today that everybody fawned over.
Oh, yeah?
In OTA practice.
How about what Sheldon Richardson said about Brandon Marshall?
15 reasons
so
to...
So great.
Yeah. Well...
Of all people to say something.
But it is interesting. I don't think that's really fantasy relevant, but... The Giants now have pretty big personalities at wide receiver. It just seems like something that could sink them, really. It's a little bit dangerous to me.
Don't worry.
I mean,
Ben McAdoo's got it.
Most teams have big personalities
but
at wide receiver.
But they've got two.
Yeah.
You know, and one of them's coming off this offseason where the playoffs where he goes on the freaking boat, and now he's not showing up for OTAs.
But he never shows up for OTAs.
Maybe he should.
It's really impacted his performance?
Yeah. He'd be better than A.J. Greed, for sure.
Marshall's interesting because, I mean, clearly he's had a track record of not being a great teammate, but I found it shocking, and I didn't know it was happening until I saw it in front of my eyes. The league, Roger Goodell said, of all the players in the NFL, Brandon Marshall, come speak to the owners and the league about player issues and what's going on and how to make things better. And I've talked to Marshall twice in the last 3 years, once there in Arizona and then once at Anquan Boldin's charity thing. And he's nothing but open and honest. And, you know, I mean, maybe that doesn't play well in an NFL locker room. I guess.
It's because he's probably willing to speak whenever he feels.
He also has his antics. I mean, he's got a lot, you know, issues with his quarterback. But this is not Jay Cutler. This is not Ryan Fitzpatrick. This is a, you know, potential Hall of Famer in Eli Manning. And this is a strong locker room with defensive personalities that have the ability to shut you down in a second.
Yeah, so I shouldn't just take Sheldon Richardson's like word that it was all Marshall's fault or anything. Let's see. Jerick McKinnon getting first team reps at Minnesota's OTAs.
Perfect. That's nice.
You have a rookie and a guy coming off ankle surgery.
Right,
so.
Exactly. And Rashad Jennings won Dancing with the Stars. Yeah, right. And then Paul Perkins went and did it a little bit better. So any other OTA notes?
Ezekiel Elliott has not been practicing because he got in a minor car accident, but he appears to be fine. I saw this today after you asked me to check your notes. Mike Evans has missed the first 2 days of practice for, I guess, an undisclosed reason. So maybe something to take into account. I'm sure he's going to be fine. We haven't really seen
him. I just saw a tweet just a little bit ago. It sounds like James Conner tweaked a hamstring and hasn't practiced the last couple of days either. So as a rookie, that probably matters quite a bit in him trying to become the sure handcuff to Le'Veon.
Oh, Mike Williams, the receiver for the Chargers, is dealing with
a back injury.
I knew I was missing. And so that's troubling for, you know, it'd be one thing if it wasn't a crowded receiving core, but this will help Keenan Allen, it'll help Tyrell Williams, it'll help everybody not named Dontrell Inman, who also got hurt, and he's not going to be there for a while.
Tyrell's the one that really, I think, it makes the biggest impact too, because he's the one I was afraid Williams is going to take his job.
Well, he will eventually.
If he doesn't buy, he may not buy week one.
Right. Michael Thomas thing, where all it took was one little window of opportunity, and then
wake me when it's August. By the way, Laquan Treadwell also getting positive headlines for
running with the first team.
Coming along strong, running with the first team as the third receiver.
For existing.
Thielen and Diggs are still there.
He does exist.
He does exist. Looks like he's making a push to try and get some more playing time this year.
And Teddy Bridgewater actually is practicing.
Yeah, he's making some progress. That's good to see. I don't think we're banking on him being the quarterback this year, right?
No.
Right. Okay, we'll see. All right, Heath wants to talk about Mike Wallace, 30-year-old Mike Wallace. He was the number 20.
Oh, you did it for his age. That's nice. That's good of you.
Number 25 wide receiver in fantasy last year. He's 30 years old, and he's 30th in Heath's rankings. Four games with double-digit fantasy points last year, which is a strike against him. Two of them were in weeks 1 and 2, and it was kind of crap after that, Heath. But you're feeling it this year. Mike Wallace, number 30.
I don't like liking Mike Wallace. This doesn't feel good. But here's what I look at when I see the Baltimore situation. They threw the ball like 600 million times last year, and maybe they'll throw it a little bit less this season, but Joe Flacco is going to throw 550-plus passes. They lost Steve Smith. There goes 110 targets. They lost Kamar Aiken. There goes 50-plus targets. Yes, they added Danny Woodhead. He's not taking all of those, and he's taking a bunch from Kyle Juszczyk. Mike Wallace, you said it was the number 25 wide receiver in fantasy last year.
Yeah.
He's been top 30 every year of his career but one in 2015. So I'm ranking him 30th, and everybody's like, why are you ranking him so high? That'd be the second worst finish of his career. Rashad Perryman's the only other guy that we know for sure can catch a football in the receiving core. I don't see how Wallace doesn't get 125 targets. And if he gets 125 targets, he's going to be a top 30 wide receiver again.
That's a pretty good case. And even better, two games without Steve Smith last year. 97 yards on 9 targets at the Giants, 120 yards on 13 targets at the Jets. So he can do it in that stadium. We know that.
That's important.
Yeah, that is huge. But, yeah, two highly targeted games without Steve Smith last year and productive. That's interesting.
And he is – the 30-years-old thing is not great, but I just looked at him compared to DeSean Jackson, compared to Pierre Garçon, compared to Emmanuel Sanders, three other 30-year-old, 31-year-old wide receivers that were all – really pretty similar to him in production last year and are all being drafted 4, 5, 6, 7 rounds before he is.
The biggest issue I have are the names of the receivers you have ranked behind Mike Wallace, which would suggest to me that you would take Wallace ahead of these guys.
Well, you don't have to.
But you would. That's how I read ranking.
I think when you're going into a draft, you have to use ADP and your rankings combined.
You can. And everybody can use any.
But you like Mike Wallace better than?
Julian Edelman.
I saw Dante Moncrief. That was the one that shocked me.
Martavis Bryant.
Oh, you know Heath doesn't like Moncrief. That's a touchdown thing.
Right.
Did Dante Moncrief have, like, how many 60-yard games did Moncrief have last year?
One?
I wonder.
Maybe.
I think he had one game over 60.
That's awful.
But it's
he does catch a lot of touchdowns.
He's a goal line receiver. And he's not exactly.
All right, who else,
he's a
Dave?
Red zone receiver.
Go ahead.
Martavis Bryant, Willie Snead, Jamison Crowder, Tyreek Hill, Moncrief, Randall Cobb. Which is interesting.
You would draft him, what, like round 6?
Brandon
six?
Marshall?
I don't think you need to draft him. His average draft position right now is the 11th round.
Right.
I think you can take him in the 7th.
But what you're telling people, though, by putting him there, because we've had this discussion ad nauseum for 10 years.
Right.
Is you're telling people, because people listen to our podcast.
Round value.
People who are listening to our podcast are going to hear this and understand you're not, you don't think you have to take him there.
No, right.
But drafter looks at Heath Cummings rankings and
I
says,
understand.
I have to take Mike Wallace in the 6th round?
I think he will return 6th round value.
Not week
so
to week.
If you do, then that's fine.
Yeah, week to week is
but
the
best
part
about
him.
That is that you can wait for him. You don't have to take him in round 6 because no one on this planet, Mike Wallace would not draft himself.
Right, he appreciates
round
that,
six.
But I just think it's so I think what he said is very
bit.
Compelling. No, oh, I see. I don't.
That's the argument for Mike Wallace as a good pick in fantasy.
We've talked about this
it's
a lot.
It's about where that pick is.
He brought up one guy, Emmanuel Sanders. We saw it for the last 2 years. He's had good end-of-year production. Larry Fitzgerald, the same thing, good end-of-year production. But the week-to-week has somewhat been skewed.
Right.
Fitzgerald had a great start, awful second half each of the last 2 seasons. Sanders had the same thing. What was it, 4 or 5 good games last year where he was very good?
You don't get consistent number 3 wide receivers. That's a myth.
No, I don't agree. But well,
if they're consistent,
then
they don't have big weeks.
No. Let me say, you draft them as number 3s. If they're consistent, then they break out and they become number 2s. And I don't know that Wallace has much of a chance at that. So if you're spending a mid-round pick on a number 3 wide receiver, I would always go for a guy with more upside. Like DeVante Parker.
Right.
You know, he's even late. He's I don't know where he is now. Round 8, round 9.
He's another guy that's getting pushed up because of a
– Sure. Like
hyped up.
If he is going to be a number 3 wide receiver – You're right. He's not going to be consistent week to week. But I think DeVante Parker has the chance to be a number 2 wide receiver.
I think DeVante Parker has a chance to be a borderline number 2 receiver, too. I don't think he'll do it in a consistent way. I think he'll probably do it where he has 100 yards and a touchdown 1 week, and then he'll have 35 yards the next week.
There's consistent, and then there's like Mike Wallace.
Number two slash number three wide receivers that score 10 fantasy points every week aren't number two slash number three wide receivers.
No, nobody scores 10. Very few people score 10 fantasy points every week. I'm just saying Wallace is like Torrey Smith back in the day. You know, he's big player dependent. He's frustrating to own as a fantasy owner because he's right. got such big games and then you're
almost always chasing points with him. The week that he goes off, he's always on your bench. The week that he, you know, good matchup, good situation,
right.
he never delivers for you.
And that's got to be a difficult thing for you guys, ranking players that you know are going to finish fairly high in end-of-season numbers but won't feel like that to fantasy owners.
That's when I rank players based on how frequently I think they'll put up back-to-back fantasy point games, which is tough for receivers to do. The great ones do it.
Yeah.
Everyone else... It's almost like a yo-yo.
Now, let me ask you, because of the targets and the opportunity that you mentioned for Baltimore, which threw the ball so much last year, do you think he could be more consistent this year and break that stereotype of Mike Wallace?
I don't think he's going to have a top... I don't think top 18 is possible. Do I think better than what he was last year, which was 26 overall, is possible? Yes, because there's not hardly anybody to throw the ball to.
Well, here's an interesting exercise, and we should probably do this more. You say 125 targets, right? So let's go from, I'll go 130 to 117, which was Wallace. Here are the guys that, how they finished. Julio Jones, 129 targets. We know he was awesome. 169 fantasy points. Brandon Marshall, 128 targets. Almost similar situation. I mean,
he's going to have a quarterback.
Flacco was a better quarterback, right. Yes, but 128 targets, 89 fantasy points. Doug Baldwin, 125 targets, 153 fantasy points. Michael Thomas, we talked about, 122 targets. Devontae Adams, 121 targets. He had 160. These are all great wide receivers. Tyrell Williams, 121 targets. Very good.
120 targets sounds like a pretty good number.
It's seeming to be better off than it is poor. Kelvin Benjamin, kind of a similar season to Mike Wallace, 118 targets, 127 fantasy points. Brandon Cooks, 117 targets, same as Wallace, was 38 points better than him. And then you have Wallace at 117 targets with 121 fantasy points, just to, you know, keep it in that same range. Garcon was 116, similar season to Wallace, as Heath alluded to.
How many targets did Wallace have last year?
Wallace had 117.
117.
And then you have Garcon at 116. He was 6 points worse than Wallace. And Jordan Matthews, also 116. Terrible season, 91 fantasy points. Jeremy Curley right there, 115 targets, 77 fantasy points. So for the most part, the target number is indicative of him playing well. You just have to wonder, as a 30-year-old guy, does the speed start to go?
Right.
And is he able to adapt?
Mm. So how many targets are you expecting for Wallace?
I think if he plays 16 games, it's hard to see him have less than 125. I think that's a floor.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Unless Perryman is that much better.
But even if there's 150 targets.
But they're still going to, like, Chris Moore is going to be a factor for them. This is a guy that they seem to like. Don't forget, they did not have Ben Watson last year. So they're probably going to use a ton more two tight end sets with Watson and Pitta. Plus, Woodhead is a much more exceptional pass catcher than Kyle Juszczyk will ever be. So there are ways for them to be more creative. Plus, I think if you were to ask Ozzie Newsome, John Harbaugh, Joe Flacco, anybody on the defense side of the ball, please don't throw the ball as much as you did a year ago. Because
I'm not expecting 670 passes. I think 550.
Our formula for success is not to throw the ball all over the place. Right. The Ravens have won two Super Bowls not doing that.
The Ravens have what?
Won two Super Bowls not throwing the ball all over the place.
Trent Dilfer was their quarterback for one of their Super Bowls.
Yeah. Cool.
But just FYI, listen, for the four of us, our draft is starting in 2 minutes.
Our draft is starting, so we are going to do a shorter show today.
We could draft during the show.
Yeah, we can.
Not a big deal.
We can draft during the show, but I was... All right, fine. So then let me log on. Anyway, half-point PPR draft is about to start. Let's read
Adam,
some emails.
Up.
No, I'm not. Let's read some emails, and then if we have time, we will talk a little bit more rankings. Dustin from Cincinnati wants to replace the Azer strategy with the Stacker strategy. Rename it. The Stacker strategy. I don't like it. People have said that the Azer strategy is like stacking in daily, in DFS. I don't think it is.
A year-long stack?
Yeah, like, it's not that.
It's not really.
Kind of literally.
You're not picking on a matchup and...
No, but you're stacking players from the same team.
Yeah, it's not. I don't like it. I veto, Dustin. I veto. This is from Ty. I read this one. It's about Frank Gore. This is from Steve from a town in Connecticut.
Stanford.
Oh, okay.
Wow. In stereo.
You have to keeper question. I should read these before I go on the air. One-year keeper, Melvin Gordon in the fifth, Jay Ajayi in the eighth, or, why am I even asking, Jordan Howard in the 14th. That got to be that, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so Jordan Howard. But Melvin Gordon in the fifth is such great value.
They're all great values.
How much better do you like Gordon than Howard, if better at all? If at all.
I like him enough that there's a small difference between the two. I just think the Chargers are a better team. But both of these guys are young running backs with good offensive lines. They're going to touch the ball a lot. Lots of positives.
Yeah, I think Gordon would be third for me because there's maybe a round's worth of difference between Gordon and Howard.
All right, so Howard in the 14th, followed by Ajayi in the 8th, followed by Gordon in the 5th.
Yes.
Dan from the Land of Potatoes. Jamie, you want to guess where Dan's from? Land of Potatoes?
California.
Northern Nailed California it. Is Nailed a it. Known potato farming region.
He
People
said,
go to Napa for their potatoes.
Guessing someone will say Idaho. Trick question, I grow a lot of potatoes in my yard in Napa.
Yes.
Just like we said.
Exactly.
People don't really go to Napa for potatoes.
Yeah, they have potato tours. Ride a little bus around yeah. and sample the potatoes.
Keep.
I love getting potatoes in a box.
10-team standard scoring league. Mike Evans in the 3rd round. DeMarco Murray in the 4th round. Travis Kelce in the 7th round. Jameis in the 10th. Crowell in the 11th. Let me read them again. Mike Evans in the 3rd is 10-team standard. Evans in the 3rd. DeMarco in the 4th. Kelce in the 7th. Jameis 10th round. Crowell 11th.
I think...
Evans?
The better safe than sorry move is Evans.
Yeah. Crowell's really tempting.
It is. You know what? If we can make this decision closer to the start of the season and we see Crowell looking good and that Cleveland offensive line being a difference maker like we think it's going to be, then maybe I pull the trigger on that.
But
I'd also like to know where Dan in Potato Land picks in round one. Like, does he have a chance to get Evans back?
That's a good question. Okay, and finally...
Because if I can have Evans for a 1 and Crowell for an 11 versus Evans for a 3 and that's it, I might be willing to do that.
Chris from the fan club of the Azer strategy. I like that. That would be the friendship strategy.
He purposely misspelled your last name, by the way.
A-S-E-R, yes.
No, and like he did it on purpose. He wants to call it the Acer strategy.
Acer?
A-S-E-R. How would you pronounce that?
Acer.
Acer. Yeah.
I think we've got a new name.
I hate it. 12-team PPR league. I'm keeping David Johnson, Jordy Nelson, and Davante Adams. This is my last year with Johnson and Jordy. So he can pick his own draft slot. All of the big six are available, except for David Johnson, whom he is keeping. Should he get the first overall pick and take Le'Veon Bell, or pick fifth and get one of the top three running backs or top three wide receivers that falls to him?
Well, if you already have David Johnson, okay. So nobody is getting to keep any of the other top five players. Wow. I think I'd go fifth.
Fifth?
You also get to pick earlier in round 2.
Yep. And round 4.
Yeah, he thinks he'll have either Zeke or Beckham. I think you take, I think you go fifth.
I like it.
Plead the fifth. Yeah.
Not necessarily the advice I would give in a normal redraft situation, but in this keeper league for Chris, I like it.
So how's the draft going?
We had an issue.
Oh, good. We haven't started yet. Excellent. I'm going to end this podcast. We'll hold off on a little more ranking stuff because Heath just did a rankings overhaul anyway, so things have changed. So we'll do that next time we talk to you.
You moved Mike Wallace down already?
No. Which will be probably Tuesday. Hope everybody has a great Memorial Day. You three have a great Memorial Day.
Thank you.
And enjoy your weekend, everyone. We'll talk to you on Tuesday.
Bye.